What are you doing? There's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
You walk into this room at your own risk, because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history since the beginning of time. It has refinements, technological advances, and a more sophisticated approach to the destruction of human freedom. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
Four!
I've always thought there was no hope for Donald Trump and I to ever be friends. But here's the deal. I just learned out we have one thing in common. We are both terrible golfers. Because there's a new tell-all book about the president called Commander in Cheat, How Golf Explains Trump. That's how desperate we've become to understand this man. Golf, can you explain him? What about you, cheeseburger? You're his only friend. Now, this book is written by sports writer Rick Riley. Here's how Riley summarizes Trump's approach to the game of golf. He cheats at the highest level. He cheats when people are watching, and he cheats when they aren't. He cheats whether you like it or not. Fun fact, that is also a direct quote from the best man speech at all of Trump's weddings. His cheating is so ubiquitous, Riley writes. To say Donald Trump cheats is like saying Michael Phelps swims. Trump claims to have a handicap of 2.8. Now, lower is better. So to put that in perspective, Jack Nicklaus, winner of a record 18 major golf titles and generally considered the greatest golfer in the history of the game, has a handicap of 3.4. Riley subtly insinuates that Trump might not be honest about his handicap, saying, if Trump is a 2.8, Queen Elizabeth is a pole vaulter. But the specific anecdotes are where the book really takes off. Like when Trump played against sportscaster Mike Tirico, who said that Tirico once had a great shot that he knew was close, but when he got to the putting green, it was much further away than he expected. Then Trump's caddy came up to me and said, you know that shot you hit on the par five? It was about 10 feet from the hole. Trump threw it in the bunker. I watched him do it. Trump's own caddy would not cover up for him. So Trump hired a new bag handler, William Barr. But can't see his score. Won't let you see the scorecard. He's going to redact, summarize the scorecard.
President Trump has spent 177 days of his presidency at one of his golf clubs. That's about 20% of the time he's been president. So he plays a lot of golf.
He cheats like a mafia accountant. Like, he cheats crazy. He cheats whether you're watching or not. He cheats whether you like it or not. He tried to cheat Tiger Woods in a match, and Tiger hits it like this. He hits two balls in the water, doesn't count either, and pretends that he almost tied Tiger Woods. So it doesn't matter who he is. He has to be the winner. But what really bothers me is that he told people on the campaign trail, I don't know if you remember this, but he said, I'm a winner. You got to vote for me because I've won 18 club championships. He said this three or four times, and that's against the best players in the club. But I knew he was lying because he told me how he does it. Whenever he opens a new course that he buys, he plays the first round by himself and calls that the club championship, puts his name on the wall. Sometimes he wins club championships from another state.
Is there a time he was in Philadelphia and he claims he won a club championship in Bedminster?
Yeah.
What happened?
So the club championship's going on at Bedminster. He's playing in Philly at his club there. And he finishes his round. He says, hey, what won the club championship? And they said, oh, Joe Schmo shot 74. He goes, well, I shot 72 today. make me the club champion. And the guy's like, what? Yeah, make me the club champion. And so they take Joe's name off and put Trump's up. And this happens over and over. Like, he often says, I've won 18 club championships. Well, he doesn't tell you they're the senior club championships.
Or super senior.
Or super senior. I wouldn't even know if he won those.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you. And 19 for me. Cause I'm the tax man. Yes, I'm the tax man. That man is rough.
President Trump has been resisting calls for over 3 years to release his tax returns. Last week, Trump said he would love to release them, but can't because of a fake audit that definitely does not exist. And he just kept repeating the same words over and over.
While I'm under audit, I won't do it. If I'm not under audit, I would do it. I had no problem with it. But while I'm under audit, I would not give my taxes. There's no law whatsoever. Now, I will say this. I would love to give them, but I'm not going to do it while I'm under audit. It's very simple. While I'm under audit, I won't do it. If I'm not under audit, I would do it. I had no problem with it. But while I'm under audit, I would not give my taxes. There's no law whatsoever. Now, I will say this. I would love to give them, but I'm not going to do it while I'm under audit. It's very simple. While I'm under audit, I won't do it. If I'm not under audit, I would do it. I had no problem with it. But while I'm under audit, I would not give my taxes. There's no law whatsoever. Now, I will say this. I would love to give them, but I'm not going to do it while I'm under audit. It's very simple.
Every time Trump answers a question, he sounds like a scientist insisting on giving a TED Talk despite a recent massive head wound.
A black hole is a hole that's black, and it's black because it's a hole where there's no light. Because it's black and it's a hole. And that's why they call it a black hole. Dr. Trump, maybe we could finish this up tomorrow, but I haven't even gotten to the black hole part yet.
Also, this part right here is the best part.
Now, I will say this. I would love to give them, but I'm not going to do it.
He tees it up like he's about to switch gears and then just repeats himself again. It's like if you ask someone to marry you and they said, well, it's awfully soon and I'm a little afraid of commitment, but I will say this, no.
I'm always under audit, it seems, but I've been under audit for many years because the numbers are big and I guess when you have a name, you're audited. But until such time as I'm not under audit, I would not be inclined to do that.
That's right, folks. My numbers are so big, the IRS is still working on a new number to describe them. It could be tremendazillion. We'll see what happens, folks.
You know, in fairness to Trump, he probably is under audit. I mean, Trump's taxes are so dirty, the IRS probably has them in one of those contagion rooms from Outbreak.
Knowing that the audit excuse is a transparent lie, Trump has, in the last few months, moved on to a new excuse that his tax returns are too complicated for people to understand. That's what he said last year after Democrats won the midterms and gained the power to request them.
As I've told you, they're under audit. They have been for a long time. They're extremely complex. People wouldn't understand them. They're done by among the biggest and best law firms in the country. Same thing with the accounting firms. The accountants are a very, very large, powerful firm from the standpoint of respect, highly respected, big firm, a great law firm, you know it very well. They do these things, they put them in. But people don't understand tax returns, and it is a very big company, far bigger than you would even understand. But it's a great company, but it's big, and it's complex, and it's probably feet high.
All right, first of all, I don't want to hear how big and complex it is from someone who also says it's feet high. Second, the only thing harder to understand than your tax returns is that answer. We need an audit just to figure out what the hell you're saying. Like, honestly, please, what does this mean?
A very, very large, powerful firm from the standpoint of respect.
Why? Why does the president of the United States always sound like a spam email asking you for your Social Security number? Hello, I am with a very large, powerful firm from the standpoint of respect. Will you please send your bank routing number? For real? For real, maybe Congress would have more luck getting his tax returns if they just used his syntax in the request. Mr. President, some would say best president, we're writing to request your tax returns, are willing to send truck to pick up as they are so big, massive even, from your many large and successful businesses. Wow! We realize they will be very, very too complicated for us to understand as we are small from the standpoint of intelligence, but would be fun to see that. Yeah.
They make a very good case. I think we should send him over.
Breaking the law, breaking the law. Breaking the law, breaking the law. Breaking the law, breaking the law. Breaking the law, breaking the law.
Now, the law is clear. Democrats have the power to request Trump's tax returns, which they did, and the request went to the IRS, not Trump. It's not up to him. And yet on Sunday, his press secretary, Sarah Sanders, insisted Trump would not turn them over, and she even took Trump's argument one step further, saying members of Congress were literally too dumb to understand them.
This is all about political partisanship. This is a dangerous, dangerous road. And frankly, Chris, I don't think Congress, particularly not this group of congressmen and women, are smart enough to look through the thousands of pages that I would assume that President Trump's taxes will be.
Okay, now this is what she wants. She's trolling us. She wants us to get all mad and riled up and point out all the ways that Trump is actually the idiot, because that's their only move, to just take whatever we say about Trump and turn it back on us. And we're just too dignified for that. We will not stoop to her level. And I'm just kidding. Here's a bunch of dumb shit the president has said and done.
Our hope is a word and world through their lives and though their lives. They sacrifice every day for the furniture and future of their children. 10,000 known or suspected gang members. Nancy Pelosi, or Nancy, as I call her.
It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.
We appreciate it very much, Tim Apple.
China has total respect for Donald Trump and for Donald Trump's very, very large brain.
Very, very. Very, very large a brain.
Yeah, no, but we're too stupid to understand the tax returns of someone who is clearly suffering from what's known in the medical community as degenerative Italian stereotype disease. He'll start his next press conference by saying,
I use my very large brain, huh, to make it a pizza pie.
Breaking the law, breaking the law. Breaking the law, breaking the law. Broken, anger in my heart. You don't know what it's like. You don't have a clue.
Trump is resisting calls to release his tax returns, he's also been suggesting breaking the law when it comes to immigration. Now, here's what's going on. It's very simple. Trump hates the fact that migrants can legally come to this country and seek asylum. He's been whining about it for months, complaining that migrants have the right to make their case to a judge in a court of law with the help of a lawyer. And he did it on Friday and yet again today.
We have to do something about asylum. And to be honest with you, I have to get rid of judges.
They have to get rid of the whole asylum system because it doesn't work. And frankly, we should get rid of judges.
We have a stupid system of courts. It's the craziest thing in the world.
We then have to ask them a couple of questions. Lawyers are telling them what to say. They read a little page given by lawyers that are all over the place. You know, lawyers. They tell them what to say.
People come in. They read a line from a lawyer that a lawyer hands them out online.
The asylum laws are absolutely insane. They're given a statement to read by lawyers that stand there waiting for them. Read this statement.
I think Trump is just upset that they can read prepared statements because he can't read prepared statements. Whenever he reads off a teleprompter, he magoos it. So he can't get rid of courts or judges or lawyers. So now Trump has moved on to a new idea, and he clearly thinks this new idea is a brilliant political maneuver that will turn the tables on Democrats. Trump said on Friday he wants to start sending migrants to liberal cities that would welcome them, or so-called sanctuary cities.
We are looking at the possibility, strongly looking at, to be honest with you. California, the governor wants to have a lot of people coming in, refugees coming in, a lot of sanctuary cities, so we'll give them to the sanctuary cities maybe to take care of. We'll bring them to sanctuary city areas and let that particular area take care of it. And let's see if they're so happy. They say we have open arms. They're always saying they have open arms. Let's see if they have open arms. Sanctuary cities. Sanctuary cities. Where the grass is green and the girls are pretty. I want you, please take me home.
So that's your brilliant chess moves, to send poor migrant families fleeing poverty and violence to cities that actually want to welcome them. This is one of the dumbest attempted trolls I've ever heard. We've all actively volunteering to take in more refugees, and Trump is like, oh, I know, I'll let them take in more refugees. That'll show them. Whether it's on immigration or tax returns, there's one consistent theme in Trump's behavior. He just doesn't think the law applies to him. The Constitution grants people, including immigrants, certain inalienable rights, and it also gives Congress the power to investigate the president. But Trump can't seem to get that through his
a brain.
Breaking the law, breaking the law. Breaking the law, breaking the law.
Shipping migrants to sanctuary cities. The president tweeted last night that he has, the government has, quote, the absolute legal right to do so. But as has been reported, this was floated by the White House, brought over to DHS, and they said repeatedly that it was not legal to do so. And also, they said counterproductive. Take a look at some of the objections that DHS raised. They said Congress has approved no specific money for this purpose. ICE says it would be, quote, an unnecessary operational burden. Sending them to sanctuary cities which don't cooperate with federal enforcement of immigration laws would make it harder to round them up later. And it also might be an incentive to more illegal immigration. So I guess the question is, how do you overcome all of those problems?
Again, nobody thinks that this is the ideal solution, but until we can fix the crisis at the border, we have to look at all options. This is one of them. Whether or not it moves forward, that's yet to be determined. This was raised at a staff level initially and pushed back on. The president wants us to explore it again, so that's being done, and they're doing a complete and thorough review.
The New York Times reports that last week the president told acting DHS chief Kevin McAleenan that he urged him to close the border to migrants and offered to pardon him if necessary.
I beg your pardon.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
When I'm being sarcastic with something, first of all, they don't even know. Of course I'm being sarcastic.
And when you see these thugs being thrown into the back of a paddy wagon, you just see them thrown in, rough. I said, please don't be too nice.
I believe he was making a joke at the time.
They were like death. And un-American. Un-American. Somebody said treasonous. I mean, yeah, I guess why not?
The president was clearly joking with his comments.
This just came out. WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks.
Clearly, the president was making a joke during the 2016 campaign.
Mr. President, do you still love WikiLeaks?
I know nothing about WikiLeaks. It's not my thing.
Oh, it's not your thing. Well, what is your thing?
The sad part is we don't talk about WikiLeaks because it's incredible.
You see so much from these WikiLeaks. You see so much.
Boy, I love reading those WikiLeaks.
I'll tell you, this WikiLeaks stuff is unbelievable.
This WikiLeaks is like a treasure trove.
WikiLeaks is amazing.
WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks.
I love WikiLeaks.
He said it. He said it like the guy at an end of a rom-com who can finally admit he's in love with his best friend.
I can finally say it. I love
WikiLeaks.
A member of the United States House of Representatives is receiving death threats due, she says, to the actions of the President of the United States. And the president doesn't care.
Congresswoman Omar sent out a release last night saying that your tweet from a couple of days ago has led to direct threats on her life. Any second thoughts about that tweet and the way it was produced and put together?
No, not at all.
Not at all. Let's take a moment to remember exactly what happened here. The President of the United States posted a video that took a few words by Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, completely out of context, to suggest she was playing down the September 11 attacks. That video that he posted juxtaposed her words with images of mass murder. And as a result, Omar said she experienced an increase in direct threats in my life, many directly referencing or replying to the president's video. In her statement, Omar also noted the disturbing finding that counties that hosted a Trump rally in 2016 saw a 226% increase in hate crimes. That is a real study, by the way, she's citing, one that says something truly unnerving about how this president's rhetoric is received by some of his most ardent supporters. Now to the rest, to the president's answer.
Look, she's been very disrespectful to this country. She's been very disrespectful, frankly, to Israel. She is somebody that doesn't really understand, I think, life, real life, what it's all about. It's unfortunate. She's got a way about her that's very, very bad, I think, for our country. I think she's extremely unpatriotic and extremely disrespectful to our country.
Okay, there's a lot there. Let's start with the president's claim that Ilhan Omar doesn't understand what, quote, real life is. Whatever you think of Ilhan Omar or her politics or things she said, there is one thing about her that is indisputable. She sure as hell knows what real life is about. When she was 8 years old, Omar fled civil war in Somalia. She then lived in a refugee camp in Kenya for 4 years before making it to America as a high school freshman. And despite all that adversity, she eventually rose to become a member of Congress. Ilhan Omar was not, for the record, born to rich parents. She did not attend a private boarding school and get handed hundreds of millions of dollars by her daddy via dubious tax schemes and outright fraud, unlike the man who lectures her about real life. But it's no surprise that Donald Trump has such contempt for Ilhan Omar. Trump launched his political career by harnessing anti-Muslim bigotry with the lie that Barack Obama was a secret Muslim born outside the country. He went on to falsely claim he saw thousands of Muslims in New Jersey cheering the September 11th attacks and made a wholesale rejection of 1 billion Muslims worldwide the centerpiece of his campaign.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on.
Trump is exploiting anti-Muslim sentiment that has long existed in his party. As Jamelle Bouie pointed out today, a 2004 poll found that about 40% of self-identified Republicans said that Muslim Americans should be required to register with the government. A 2006 poll found wide anti-Muslim prejudice, with Republicans ascribing more negative political and religious qualities to Muslims and being more opposed to having Muslim as neighbors than are Democrats and independents. Long before Trump's presidency, you could see not-so-thinly-veiled anti-Muslim bigotry in GOP fear-mongering about Sharia law and the so-called Ground Zero Mosque. Today, you see it manifested in the conspiracy theories about the fire at Notre Dame, which some of the right are now suggesting falsely was the result of an Islamist terrorist attack.
A sinner comes before you.
Shame. 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 Shame.
Thanks for the song this week from Junior
Parker, Judas Priest, Guns
and Roses,
Lynn Anderson, Golden Earring,
and thanks to
Sarah Sanders, Rudy Giuliani, Rod Serling, Stephen Colbert, Berman, Rick Riley, Seth Myers, Trevor Noah,
Chris
Wallace,
Chris
Hayes,
The High
Sparrow,
and
Scepter, Arnella.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.